The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here with y'all today. The sermon today is going to be out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. So if you'll turn there with me, that's where I will be preaching today. You know, this is the week after Mother's Day. Sometimes Mother's Day and Father's Day can hurt. I know that it was our first Mother's Day without my mamaw, and I loved her. She was a godly woman. I know y'all have gone through some of that, and some of y'all remember your mamas on Mother's Day, and you wish you could just have one more day with her, don't you? You do a lot for one more day. If you got that one more day, it wouldn't be enough, I don't think. You'd want another one and another one and another one. I wouldn't blame you. There was a poem by a woman named Kathy Parenteau, and it goes like this. If I could have just one more day and wishes did come true, I'd spend every glorious moment side by side with you. Recalling all the years we shared and memories we made, how grateful I would be to have just one more day. Where the tears I've shed are not in vain and only fall in bliss, so many things I'd let you know about the days you've missed. I wouldn't have to make pretend you never went away. How grateful I would be to have just one more day. When that day came to a close and the sun began to set, a million times I'd let you know I never will forget. The heart of gold you left behind when you entered heaven's gate. How grateful I would be to have just one more day. You probably, most if not everybody else in this room, can sympathize with this feeling. You've got someone you're thinking of the week after Mother's Day, and I know you thought about her last Sunday as well. There's a commercial, and you've probably seen this on TV, that says depression hurts. Have y'all seen that one? Depression hurts. So you need to take this medication. But grief in general hurts, right? Sorrow burns. You feel it. It's one of those things that, you know, it sort of goes away, but then it doesn't. Not completely. Not completely. And death stings. You know it stings, don't you? You felt it. It's not the person who's gone on to be with the Lord that it stings. It's us that it stings. If you've ever been stung by death in your family or with your friends, you wish you could just have one more day with that person. Boy, I've got good news for you. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Would you please stand with me in honor of the reading of the only book that God ever wrote? 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray before you sit down. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that the sting of death is not the end, that it's not the final word. Lord, I thank you that the people we love have gone on to be with you. And they're not dead, they're not perished, they're just asleep. You, Lord Jesus, have said, we will never die. even though we sleep. Lord, I got a lot of people I'm looking forward to seeing again. And I thank you for the promises of the resurrection and of eternal life and the assurance that you're going to call us all home to meet you in the sky. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You know, Paul went through Thessalonica kind of in a hurry. There were some people there who were stalking him. It didn't happen just once. They stalked him. And so he didn't have a lot of time whenever he went to Thessalonica. He taught them what they could. No, he's got a couple of people with him, and he taught what he could, when he could. You got to get the basics of the resurrection down. By the way, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a Christian. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a Christian. Did you know there's people in this world who call themselves ministers, and they don't believe that there's not a real resurrection. That's just sort of a metaphor. Well, Paul goes through this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, listen, people, if there's no real resurrection, then not even Jesus was resurrected. And if Jesus wasn't resurrected, we're not saved. We're still in our sins. Paul had to address this to the Corinthians, this very specific reason, because there is a literal bodily resurrection. And if you don't believe it, how could you possibly have saving faith? Right? You know that faith saves you, right? People go around talking about faith as if it's a synonym for religion. Faith is not a synonym for religion. You have to say, what do you have faith in? Faith is in something that hasn't happened yet, right? The thing that hasn't happened yet is the return of Christ to resurrect the people who have fallen asleep in the Lord and to change in the twinkling of an eye the people who are alive and remain at the time of Christ. That is the thing we're putting our faith in. That is the resurrection. That's the second coming. That is the eternal life we put our faith in. And if you don't believe in it, you have no resurrecting faith. You can't possibly. You must have faith in the resurrection or you are not saved. The Thessalonians believed in the resurrection, but they had questions. You see, Paul didn't write a bunch of letters to them like he spent time with the Corinthians. By the way, he had to write 4 letters to them at least, and we have 2 of them to the Corinthians. The Thessalonians were worried that their loved ones who had passed away would miss out on the second coming of Christ, and Paul seeks to set the record straight, and that's what he did with this text. The ones we love, the ones who have fallen asleep in the Lord, will not miss Christ's return. In fact, they get to it before the people who are alive and remain get to it, right? We will have them back after we arrive at the meeting. It's a wonderful word. We will meet Christ in the air. Here's what I hope to do with this sermon. I hope that you have set your appointments with Christ, that there is an appointed time when we will meet him in the air. I hope you have your appointments set. The second thing I want to have happen with this sermon is that you receive comfort. That's the whole point of these verses. He says, comfort one another with these words. And that's what I hope to do. And not only that, but I hope you start comforting other people with these words. Hey, listen, I know y'all don't have a full-time pastor right now. And I know you got VBS coming up. Listen, the week of VBS is not where VBS stops. The most people who get saved in the church, the greatest quantity of people are young people, right? So the follow-up to VBS is the big deal. And you need to be ready to go after them in the weeks after VBS. You know, they fill out their information. You guys have to be the ones. If you don't have a full-time pastor right now, you guys have to be the ones to go into their homes and share the comfort of the resurrection with people. So you get their information, right? They're coming. They have to fill out information to come to VBS. One of the kiddos indicates that they wonder about salvation, or they want to give their lives to Jesus, or they did give their lives to Jesus. You have to follow up on that. And by you, I mean you all. There needs to be a team for follow-up, just like there's a team for VBS. You got to do it. This is the most urgent part of the year because it's your biggest opportunity of the year to go get young people. But guess what? Once you get into their homes on a visit, and I'm talking about you all, right? Once you get into their homes, take a deacon with you. Deacons are always prepared to give an account for their gospel, for the things that they believe in. Get into their homes and you just make sure that mom and dad know what the child is doing and wanting to place their faith in. And while you're doing that, the whole time you're really sharing the gospel to dad, to the stepbrother, to the stepmother. That's your real gospel opportunity at that moment. So the follow-up is bigger than VBS, I'm telling you. And you need a team, and you are the team. You can't wait on hiring a pastor full-time in however many months that takes. I'm sorry, but this is urgent. Go after them. Get a team for follow-up. Do that. Be urgent and share the comfort of the resurrection with everyone you see. Go after them. The essence of this sermon is that those people, and just like you have had sorrow on Mother's Day or sorrow on Father's Day, they feel the same thing. Go share the comfort of the resurrection with them. That's your job. And don't do it just because I said so. Do it because Jesus Christ is worthy of it. Now, I want to go through this scripture, verses 13 through 18, and I want to mention several things about this. The first thing I want to mention is the mourning. The mourning. That's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. It's not like, not necessarily that he's going to arrive in the morning. We don't know when Jesus is going to arrive. But we've been singing a song around the house, the midnight cry, haven't we, Bethany? At the midnight cry, whenever Jesus comes again. Love that song. It's an excellent song. Well, we don't know it's at midnight. We don't know it's at in the morning. We know that people mourn, though. We know that. It's universal. Every human that has ever lived has experienced mourning. From infancy, they mourn. They cry. That's part of being a human. There's people in this community, I promise you, that need to hear the gospel message. And they think they believe it just because they're cultural Christians. They think they believe it, but they really don't. If they really believed it, if they really knew who God was, they'd be sitting in the pews next to you. The reason people don't go to church is because they don't think God's worthy for them to. Or they just don't know that He is. Paul says, now concerning those who are asleep, he's addressing a major concern that Timothy had reported to him. Paul had a list of things that he would teach. Every place he goes to plant a church, he would teach his certain curriculum as he got there. But he didn't have time, remember? He had people who were stalking him. And after he left Thessalonica, he goes over to Berea. The people who stalked him in Thessalonica went over to Berea and stalked him there. And he had to escape. And he went down to Athens. So he had to get out of there pretty quickly. We want to know what a blessing it was. We know what a blessing it was for him and Barnabas to teach for a solid year at Antioch. But the Thessalonians didn't have that privilege. In many cases, he didn't have enough time to teach them all. So they were uninformed, Paul says. He uses the word ignorant. Well, that seems a bit harsh, so we put uninformed here. But they didn't know. They didn't know that the people who pass away are really passing over. They didn't know that they were going to witness the return of Christ. Hey, listen. Last Sunday, I had a pretty interesting dilemma. Did you know the most thoughtful gift you could possibly get for your mother on Mother's Day is to completely reject anything she offers you as a present? Do you know that? Yeah. So last Sunday was Mother's Day, but my birthday was last Saturday. So you're doing the math in your head. You're right. That's one day before. It felt like it was pretty inconsiderate to have Mother's Day right after my birthday. So now I have this dilemma last week, and you may have experienced this before. Have you ever had like a family Christmas gathering and it boils down to just trading gift cards, you and someone else. So if you have a brother and sister, something like that, okay, you know you're supposed to only spend 50 or 25 or whatever it is on a gift card. And so you get there, and it's time to exchange presents, and here's your gift card. Oh, thank you. I'll take my gift card. And it seems like, you know what? It would have been better. It would have been more pleasant had I not had to go get your gift card. And so, you know, you just give me cash, or I'll give you cash, or we just not exchange anything. What's the point, right? And in fact, why give a gift card at all? All it does is limit the way you can spend your own cash. So, I knew you'd all agree with me, right? Therefore, and you can see where I'm going with this by now, back to Mom. Obviously, the most considerate and thoughtful gift I could possibly offer to the woman who bore me into this world, to the woman who held me in her arms, to the woman who accepted me back into her home day after day, whenever I got filthy and sweaty and as a teenager at times just plain oily, would be to completely reject any gift she might offer me on my birthday. And then she would say, "Oh, son, this is so thoughtful. You really outdone yourself. I'm proud of you for getting me nothing. I'm proud of you for rejecting my gift on your birthday." And then I'd say, "Thanks, Mom. I'm proud of myself, too." Some of you look like you have questions. And so I'll answer that. Yes, it works the same way with your wife on Mother's Day. We've got four kids, and I can just reject her gift, right? How many of you think that, how many believe the story I just told? How many of you think I actually went through with not doing that? I'm still here, aren't I? Listen, that's a dumb story. Now, can we just agree that actually going through with something like that would be completely ignorant? Could you imagine remaining completely ignorant about the greatest gift God ever gave to mankind? The people in Mooringsport are completely ignorant about how worthy Jesus Christ is. They are completely ignorant about the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They are completely ignorant of faith in a literal bodily resurrection. You know why they're ignorant? They're ignorant people. And one time you were too. Go after them. And don't wait until you have a full-time pastor employed. You got to do it now. You especially got to do it during VBS. You can't wait. Because God is worthy of you going after His children. Am I right? The greatest gift is the resurrection unto eternal life. I ran into a buddy at the gas station, and he had his little boy there, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he was so proud of his little boy. And I said, "You know what? You're the richest man in the world." He said, "Yeah, if I could only just get more time." "I got good news for you there. You can have all the time in the world. As a matter of fact, you can have all the time of eternal life." Don't be ignorant of that. There are three great enemies to the mind and to the heart. Number one is ignorance. If knowledge is power, then why is ignorance bliss? Ignorance. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that you have eternal life, that you have eternal security. You know what that means? You might have heard it put this way: once saved, always saved. And that's true. You can't lose your salvation because you didn't do anything to earn your salvation. You can't do anything to earn the loss of your salvation, right? Once Jesus gives you eternal life, and in 1 John it says, "I give you eternal life." Once Jesus gives you eternal life, let me ask you a question. How long do you have it? Yeah. Does Jesus give people temporary life? No, for a few years until you make your mistake and lose your salvation? No. You can't lose your salvation. Jesus has purchased it. He has bought not only your salvation, but you. You can't steal from Jesus. I don't want you to be ignorant about this. Once Jesus has saved you, you are His. You have eternal life. You will never, ever, ever, ever lose it. You are eternally secure. You belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to the Father, and no one can steal from Him. There is no strong-armed man that can deal with God. And the other thing I don't want you to be ignorant about is the bodily resurrection. You can't be ignorant of that. That's one thing you can't afford to be ignorant about. Because if you're ignorant about the bodily resurrection, you have nothing that you're putting your faith in. And if you have nothing you're putting your faith in, you have no resurrection faith. You are not saved and you're still in your sins. That's the truth. Don't be ignorant. That's the first of the three great enemies. The second one is sorrow. Ignorance breeds a different kind of sorrow, Paul says. Verse 13, we do not want you to be uninformed. We don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. Why? So that you won't grieve as do the rest who have no hope. We grieve, but we have hope. There's a different kind of grief out here. And you look at the people you go to school with, or you have parties with, you go to birthday parties and stuff, you see parents and grandparents there, they probably have a different kind of grief than you do. Ignorance breeds a different kind of sorrow, and a different kind of sorrow breeds hopelessness, and hopelessness. The Christian may find himself without answers, but the Christian never finds himself without hope. That's the mourning. I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant about the mourning. Let's move on to the message, verses 14 through 15. The message is about life and death. If you have only been born once, you will die twice. But if you have been born twice, you will only die once. Those who die twice will wish they'd never been born at all. This is the word of the Lord, Paul says. For we believe, in verse 14, that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Where are they? Where are the people who have fallen asleep? In Jesus. That's a good place to be. For this we say, verse 15, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. They don't get left in the grave. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They're in Jesus. They're coming with Jesus at the resurrection. And we will meet them in the air. If we believe. That's very important. If we believe. John 11, verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. Even now I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus says, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You better. Because if you don't believe it, you don't have life. Do you believe this is one of the greatest questions, is the most important question you can put to somebody. And the weeks after VBS, whenever you go visit those kids' parents and step-parents and cousins and friends who are at the house, whenever you do follow-up, you ask this question. Do you believe this? And you look every person in that room in the eye and you ask the same question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And make them come to the realization that yes, they do, or no, they don't. It's better to know you're not saved than to think you are when you're not. Through Jesus, death is merely sleep. The moment. We've gone through the morning. We've gone through the message. Now we have the moment. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven. It's not some pawn. It's not some angel. It's not some person who previously lived and now is going to get sent back to earth. The Lord Himself will descend. The King Himself. Why the King? Because He has no fear. He has all authority, doesn't He? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto Him. He came first to stand before Pilate, but when He comes second, Pilate will stand before Him. The earth and sea will give up their dead in that moment. And it's going to be loud. I'm telling you, it's going to be loud. And nobody is going to be ignorant when the moment happens. You see these movies where people just poof, disappear. People talk about, oh, you may have seen the bumper sticker, in case of rapture, vehicle may be unmanned. Listen, it's not going to be a secret whenever Jesus comes back. It's going to be loud. It says in verse 16, for the Lord Himself would ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. You think anyone's going to miss out whenever that happens? You think it's just going to be quiet and people disappear and people wonder what happened? Oh, it's going to be a shout. You know why you have a trumpet right there? Think about the trumpet they blew in Jericho. That's why there's going to be a trumpet. Because when Jesus comes back, it will be the day of the Lord. The day of reckoning. When Jesus defeats all of His enemies and destroys all the powers and authority in this world. It will happen that way. And what's going to happen is when Jesus steps out in the cloud, we will meet Him in the air. And this word for meeting, the way they did it in ancient times, imagine a delegation coming to a city, you know, riding on horses, not driving in cars, right? Well, they see that they're coming, or they hear that they're coming, so the city sends out their own delegation to meet them. And say, greetings, welcome, even if they're afraid of them. Welcome to our city. Come on. No, we got food for you and everything else. Well, what happens is the earth will send its delegation, us or whoever's alive, to go meet the Lord in the air as He's on His way back to earth. Well, at that point, the delegation from earth doesn't turn around. The delegation from earth stays with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus does what He's come to do on the day of the Lord. That trumpet will sound. A shout will happen. The voice of the archangel will happen. We will not have missed, or people won't miss anything. There will be no secret when the resurrection happens. The point is, when Jesus comes back, everybody will know it. People, you know, you will not miss out no matter what corner of the planet you're on. That's the point. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. We will be quickly changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That'll be a good day. That'll be a good day. On that day, I'll get to meet my Lord Jesus. See Him face to face. On that day, I'll get to meet my grandparents. On that day, I'll get to meet my daddy. I'm looking forward to that day. I tell you very much, I'm looking forward to that day. I've got a lot of people I'm looking forward to seeing again. And I'm hoping a lot of people are looking forward to seeing me, too. The dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus died and rose again. And the dead in Christ will rise again, just like Him. And when Jesus comes back, God will bring the dead with him. And I tell you the truth, everyone has an appointment. And every Christian has a meeting. A meeting. In verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. The word means snatched. Philip, whenever he was sharing the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch, after he baptized the man in the water, he's caught up. He's snatched away and brought to a different place. That's what's going to happen. In the Latin, that's where we get the word rapture from. It's a forceful, swift action. We're going to be snatched up, not just to disappear and go some weird place, but to meet the Lord in the air. We belong to him, and he's coming to snatch up what belongs to him. He's coming to claim the people who belong to him. We'll meet him in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. You know what? Heaven is not simply always being. Heaven's not to simply always be. Heaven is to simply always be with the Lord. And to be with mom. And to be with dad. To be with your sons and daughters. Your grandchildren. To be with your neighbors. To be here with your wife. Your husband. That's heaven. Not simply to be, but to be with each other and be with the Lord. That's heaven. And he says, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Why a cloud? Why won't we meet them in a cloud? Well, Acts chapter 1 verse 9 through 11 has the answer. After Jesus said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. And I tell you, the scripture says it is so. He was received into a cloud and he's coming back on a cloud. Just like the scripture says. And we're going to have a meeting with him. We're going to have a meeting with mom and dad. We're going to have a meeting on that day of the Lord. And it'll be a good meeting. And finally, what I've been talking to you about VBS, we have the ministry. Now I said, you don't have a full-time pastor here. That doesn't mean there's no ministry going on. You don't have to have your minister to do all the ministry for you. The ministry is in verse 18. Don't ignore it. Don't think it refers to someone other than you. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Who's supposed to go around comforting? Let me suggest it this way. If these words have ever brought you comfort, then go give comfort to somebody else. That's who's supposed to do it. If the words of the resurrection right here in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, have ever brought you comfort, go share that comfort with somebody else, because the Lord deserves for you to. The one who brings you comfort deserves for you to. The when is not important, as important as the why. There are so many questions to swirl around this text, yet Paul leaves them unanswered for us. Of all the questions we have about this topic of the coming of the Lord, only one question must be answered correctly, and it is this. Do you believe it? My friends, I hope you've put your faith in Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But if you haven't, today's the day. And if your neighbor hasn't, today's still the day. And if your kid, grandkid's teacher hasn't, today's still the day. Go share that comfort with them. Follow up after VBS. Go get in their homes and share that comfort with them. Share that comfort with stepdad, who didn't have anything to do with his stepdaughter going to VBS here at Mooringsport Baptist Church. Go share that comfort with him. Go out and be part of the ministry, because Jesus Christ deserves for you to. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your promises. I'm looking forward to that meeting. I'm looking forward to seeing you face to face. Whenever you step out on the cloud, Lord Jesus, I look forward to meeting you in the air. Or Lord, if you call me home before that day, the best sleep I ever have will be to be asleep in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the eternal life that you've given me now. I thank you for the eternal life you've given us now that can never be taken away from us. I pray that you give the people of Mooringsport Baptist Church the confidence and the boldness to go into these people's homes after VBS and share the good news with them. And Lord, that you might save some and be glorified as you deserve. And Father, as we, when we all get back together, the book of Hebrews says there will be a festal gathering in heaven. That'll be a great day to celebrate. And I thank you for your promises that they are already assured in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need to put your faith in Jesus, now's the opportunity. And we're about to sing in a moment. You come forward, you talk to me, you talk to somebody else, whoever you want to talk to, you can talk to them. Make sure that you believe in the resurrection. You must get this right. And if you need to be part of VBS, find the person who's in charge of the VBS effort and say, you know what? Maybe I can't be here during VBS, but I want to be part of that follow-up team. And that person would be so delighted, I promise you. Invest in the ministry of Mooringsport Baptist Church. Thank you all for having me here today.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.